Spending some time on a community connection on 1400 K1, talking with candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Kevin Hearn, and an opportunity to say thanks for coming in. Thanks. Welcome back to Bartlesville. And we are knocking down the days now to the June primary. We have passed the time where people can change their party affiliation or register to vote. So you can still fill out that form, and you will be registered for the November general election. And we'll try to get as many people registered as possible.
That's right, Charlie. It's, thanks for being here today. Let me be here today, and it's great to be back in Bartlesville, and we have a full day up here. You know, it's inside 90 days now to the election, so everybody I know is saying, finally, we're close. It's about 15 days to the close of filing, so that we'll know who all's in the race for sure.
And right.
We have a big event coming up April 19th that you're a part of as well.
And Washington County Republican Party has scheduled a series of forums for candidates, and the one on the 19th will be for the candidates for the 1st Congressional District. We'll also get the opportunity to spend time with the candidates for Lieutenant Governor and also for Oklahoma Governor later on, and I think Corporation Commissioner may be in there in the mix as well. But anyway, recently the omnibus bill was passed and signed by the president, and I think it came down to, as I look at it, the best we can say is a compromise. Nobody's happy with something about that bill.
Yeah, you know, I think, though, that the American people ought to be the least happy. You know, when we're spending at the rate we're spending now, it's we're just completely out of control, even starting with the fact that the bill was done the night before. And, you know, we as conservative Republicans yelled and screamed about Nancy Pelosi saying you'll have to pass it before you can see what was in it. I guess the only consolation of this bill, it was about 500 pages less. It was only 2,200 pages, which nobody in their right mind can do that. And I've said this everywhere we've gone, is that, you know, no business person would ever sign something that they haven't read. And, you could see President Trump was so infuriated by the fact that nobody had actually read the bill, sent it to him, and, you know, was leveraging, you know, their position to force him to sign something coming up against the deadline. And, you know, there's just so many things in there that just didn't get done.
And conservatives in general, I haven't talked to anybody who disagrees with this. The deadline was actually sometime before September 30th of last year. That's when it was supposed to have been done.
You know, Charlie, here the real problem is that if you go back 40 years, we've only done the appropriations process four times. And for the life of me, I don't, you know, these are the basic fundamental ideas and ideologies and reasons you go to Congress, is to get a budget. President submits his, the House and Senate, you reconcile the budget, you do the 12 appropriations, you pass a budget bill, and you get it done, and you have a budget funded on October 1. The last time we did that in America, in the United States of America, was 1996.
Yeah.
And so for 20-plus years, we've been running on just continuing resolutions, omnibus bills, cromnibus bills, you pick a bill, we've been running on that. We're managing crisis to crisis. I'll tell you, I mean, I bet you if you showed up every day and didn't do your job, you probably wouldn't get paid, you wouldn't be employed very long. Yet we still have folks in D.C., I would say the majority, obviously, because the bill passed, doing this every single day, not doing their job, and yet we still pay them. And we still pay them, you know, because, you know, really there's this whole analogy out there. If you're not doing a budget, the basic fundamental, why are you even getting paid? Why are you getting a pension? No elected official should even be getting a pension. And yet we still continue to do all of these things. Something's got to change.
Well, and I think the American electorate has said collectively, not necessarily individually, I like my guy. It's the rest of all you congressmen out there that are the problem. And I think that analysis right there is the problem. We have to do something with the majority of Congress. Congressman Bridenstine voluntarily stepped down. That's the reason that I'm talking with you and others. Otherwise, I still like contested races. But, you know, let's talk about Kevin Hearn, what you bring to the table, and how you would react in a budget world like this one we have today.
Sure. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, business guy that's never ran for office before. I spent my entire adult life balancing budgets, employing people, dealing with the regulations that are passed out of a place called Washington, D.C. The things like the immigration issue that's still not resolved.
No.
It's a requirement of the federal government. Issues like the tax policy that we finally got a tax code changed, and we did some heavy lifting in a year, but now we're sort of backtracking on that by having these humongous deficits that are just taking everything back that was given. We have these kind of things going on. We need somebody in D.C. that's not going up there for the best job they've ever had, making the most money they've ever made, and getting a pension. You know, human nature will take over when those three things occur. And people have asked me, said, you know, what's the first thing you're going to do day one, hour one, minute one? And the first thing I'm going to do is remove myself from the pension rolls. You know, when you have to stay there 5 years to get a pension, that's what the 5 years in a day you start vesting your pension. And we shouldn't have elected officials getting a pension. I don't care if it's the state level or the federal level. We shouldn't have enticements that want to make people want to gain more money on their retirement, because once they leave there, they're on the government, whether it's the state or the federal government, for the rest of their lives. And that's just nonsense. You know, we send people up there that have the best job. Tom Coburn once told me, he said, that's the reason we have such a problem in D.C. And so we have to send people out there that's not those three things.
Yeah. When I enlisted in the Air Force September 30th, 1971, they said I could have a pension too, but I had to stick around for at least 20 years to get it. So,
sure.
Yeah.
So it's just a natural enticement. It's human nature to do stuff that will afford you the opportunity to live happily ever after.
Exactly.
That's what we've had happen.
Looking at some of the other things that are out there, you mentioned immigration, and everybody is squawking now about the fact that the Census Bureau plans to ask if you're a citizen. We've asked that question for more than 100 years. We just stopped recently.
You know, Charlie, we have a crazy thing going on. We have states that are frustrated with the federal government not doing their job. We're all culpable in this problem we have. The federal government, you know, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4 says the federal government's required to establish a regular immigration naturalization policy, and yet we can't do this. And regardless of what we want to talk about, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the Democrats' leadership, Bill Clinton, and then on to Obama, are saying exactly the same thing that President Trump's saying today. We need to secure our southern border through a border wall where we can. We need to, you know, change our immigration policy so we actually follow our laws that we have out there, but actually, you know, get people out of here that are bad people. Everything. So it's almost like nobody wants a solution. They just want the issue so that both sides can raise money on. I will tell you, there are people in the races around the district and that are saying that businesses need to do more. I don't know what else you can do. I do E-Verify. I'm essentially doing the federal government's work at every one of my restaurants. And, you know, and there are thousands and thousands of businesses across America that are doing E-Verify. If we had a secure southern border, we wouldn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very onerous on business. It's very invasive on a person's private life. So there's a lot of things that are not good about it. But at some point in time, you have conflicting federal laws, and people that create jobs in America, which give people the opportunity to be off the federal government, getting checks from the federal government, you have to migrate and navigate and go through all these laws out there to actually create a job. It is just almost, you know, people out there now that are sort of my age saying, you know, I'm just telling my kids to go do something else. It's just not worth being a business person anymore. It's just too hard.
We're hearing the same thing from the educational community, too.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that I think are out there, when we talk about, like E-Verify, when we talk, the bureaucracy just continues to only go one way. We can't seem to get anything done to shrink the bureaucracy.
Well, you know, and some things that that happen, it's a dependency. It's a drug. It's a gateway drug. This federal spending is focusing the power in Washington, D.C. And so everything that happens is for a vote. It's trying to move on to the next election. And, you know, we need people who have spent a life of creating jobs and navigating all these policies that are coming out of D.C. to understand exactly what we need to push back on. And, you know, there's such an ignorance of what's really going on in America with a lot of our legislators, whether it's the state level or the federal level, that that's what's driving the average American crazy. Is they said, you know, do they not even talk? Do they not have any common sense about what the problems really are? You know, you take President Trump. I mean, he goes up there and doesn't take a salary, doesn't take a pension, and he's probably going to be more pro-life, more religious freedom oriented than anybody that's ever been there. He's cut more regulation in the first year than any president in history. He's done more for the tax code in the first year than any president in history, and immensely frustrated. We need to get more people up there to support his cause to get this thing done in the next 2 years that he's got left on his presidency. And heaven help us all if we don't keep the House this fall. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is really just longing for the day that she's in charge again and trying to figure out how to get articles of impeachment on our president. They're going to spend the remaining 2 years of his term coming after him, trying to stop everything that he's trying to do, start trying to unwind everything that he's done. And we need people that are business people that understand that we don't need to have folks up there that are going there for a career, that are going there for the opportunity to get things done. And, you know, we've seen this. We saw this fight with Reagan as well.
You brought up the term, the citizen legislator, what we have done since inception up until maybe the last 100 years. People served for a time, then went back to their farms, their businesses, their home, or even served back in their state legislature again.
Yeah.
This is something that I think you've said, maybe not in these exact words, but that is your goal, to serve for a time and then go back to your business.
Absolutely. I'm not selling any businesses, and so I've got six different businesses that I work in every single day to some degree or the other. Obviously, most folks know me for my McDonald's background, but I also do real estate development. I have a manufacturing company that has about 190 employees. We're manufacturing seating and tables and decor for the restaurant industries all over the country. Three different technology companies. I really enjoy helping people start their own companies, trying to help them figure out how to navigate the capital acquisition model that's out there that's been so restricted under Dodd-Frank. And I sit on the bank board, so I see what's happening from all sides. I think when people understand that every single day I work, I have a job, multiple jobs, responsible for making payroll, responsible for seeing, you know, what's going on, and understanding that the economy, growing the economy, creating jobs is the only way that we're ever going to return this country to its greatness. If we don't, we're going to have a major problem. Much ado has been made about who really our problems, our enemies are, who's the greatest threat. And I think we all respect and understand that General Mattis has lived a life, 40-plus years as a Marine, that he's analyzed this a lot. And he said last summer the greatest threat we have, he said, he asked the Senate Armed Services Committee to consider a day in the very near future where the greatest threat we have is our national debt and our ongoing deficits. Because he said very soon the interest we pay on our debt will be greater than the money we spend on our military. And much of that interest is going to our people across the world that we are trying to protect ourselves from.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, we are collapsing in an epic way, and somebody's got to help President Trump get that done.
When he was elected to the 2nd District, Mark Wayne Mullen took a lot of criticism from Nancy Pelosi and friends. Well, you can't still run a business in Tulsa. You're a congressman. You have to give all that up. But he successfully fought Nancy. Do you intend to keep a hand in your business if you're elected?
Well, you'll have to fight the ethics committee all the time because, sure. You know, I'll be honest with you, the people in D.C. don't want business people up there. I mean, that's just a fact. You can see that when you talk to folks and you actually do something back home. They want you to be beholden to the check that you get from the federal government. They want that to be your only revenue stream because then they can threaten to primary you back at home. You know, if you don't vote a certain way, we'll go find some money to run somebody against you. And then, you know, they take you to a corner, to the woodshed, so to speak. And, you know, so I've had these conversations with folks. I have no intention to give up my businesses. I traveled this country for 13 years helping McDonald's franchisees. Traveled over 100,000 miles a year learning about the country, seeing how much disarray that it is across California, New York. And we certainly do not need to have those principles collapse on us here in the Midwest. And I have no intention of selling anything. I've got a great management team. You know, I've got kids that are in and around the business. My wife's involved. So we've got a lot of folks helping us out.
When it comes to helping congressmen out, many of them point to those family members that keep them grounded, that say that are that reflection of what their principles were when they got elected. Family is important when you take office.
It is important. I mean, you have to have support. I mean, if you don't have the support of your family, first of all, you sort of lose your bearing. You lose the true north of what you're trying to do. And I think that also comes with having a business back in the district. You know, when you can understand what the policy is that you're passing or have passed and you're trying to go up there, when people come to you and say, well, this will be a great policy for job creators, you can quickly say that's just not true. And I think after you do that a couple of times, you'll have people that want to change your mindset stop coming to you. So it's you know, there's nothing like having job, creative jobs across America. We all talk about getting folks off the federal government. That's a natural. You know, how do we lessen the dependency of over 50% of Americans getting a check? But we don't talk about what we're going to do with them once they get off. And so we need to have jobs for them to go to.
April 19th, it is the Forum for First District Congressional Candidates. Kevin Hearn will be there. I hope that you'll be there as well. Kevin, your website, it's frequently updated as you get additional points, get people to talk to, and that sort of thing.
It is. It's hearnforcongress.com, hearnforcongress.com, H-E-R-N for congress.com, and you can access Facebook and Twitter through there as well. We also have an event coming up April 12th here in Bartlesville at 6 p.m. over the Arc Lounge, and it's over on Dewey Avenue. Mm-hmm. But we'd love to see folks there as well. We've got a great following up here in Bartlesville, great ground team, and everybody's hitching up the horses right now to get going, so it's going to be an exciting time.
Thank you very much. Candidate for the 1st Congressional District, Kevin Hearn. Check out his website, hearnforcongress.com. More on the way, coming up in just a bit.